This is Passing Judgment, a podcast about the law and how it affects you. I'm your host, Loyola Law School professor Jessica Levinson. Think of me as your personal law professor as we navigate the big legal questions of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers. Hey everybody, it's Jessica, and I want to bring you a breaking news episode of Passing Judgment. So today, on July 15th, Judge Eileen Cannon came out with a decision dismissing the entire case against former President Trump. We're talking about the Mar-a-Lago case. We're talking about the federal case against him in which prosecutors accused him of unlawfully retaining government documents. And some of these documents were extremely sensitive and serious and could have arguably put our national security into some serious risk. So this is a case where prosecutors allege that former President Trump not only took documents that belong to us, not him, government documents, to his residence and social club, Mar-a-Lago in Florida, but that he also repeatedly refused to give those documents back and in fact tried to hide those documents, conceal those documents. And so this isn't just about taking the documents, it's about repeated refusals to give them back and allegedly to obstruct the federal investigation and, again, the attempts to return those documents to the government and specifically to the National Archives. So today, in a ruling that is both shocking and somewhat not surprising, Judge Eileen Cannon dismissed all of the charges. And not because she believes that the case against Trump is weak or strong, but because she thinks that the special prosecutor, Jack Smith, who was appointed to investigate this case, was not constitutionally appointed. So let me briefly explain. We're talking about a part of the Constitution that talks about how we appoint certain officers. And the Appointments Clause talks about principal officers and also inferior officers. And principal officers, exactly as you might guess, are those who have more power and greater responsibility in our government. We can think about a principal officer being somebody like the Attorney General. Inferior officers are those who work for principal officers and have less power and responsibility. Now, under the Appointments Clause, a superior officer has to be appointed by the president and then confirmed by the Senate. This is the process that occurs, again, for cabinet-level positions, also for federal judges. For inferior officers, they do not need to be appointed by the president and approved by the Senate. But what Judge Eileen Cannon said here is there needs to be specific congressional authorization. There needs to be a statute that allows somebody, in this case, like Attorney General Merrick Garland, to appoint Jack Smith. And what Judge Eileen Cannon said here is that she's assuming that Jack Smith is an inferior officer, although she says that is a point of contention. But she says, even assuming he's an inferior officer, the appointment violated the Constitution. Because what she says, again, is that when Merrick Garland said, Jack Smith, you're it, you're the special counsel, that there wasn't congressional authorization for that. And she goes through a bunch of different statutes, and she said none of these give Merrick Garland the power to do this. And therefore, she said, the only remedy here is to dismiss the case. So let's talk about which cases this ruling actually applies to. So arguably, this could call into question the DC election interference case because that is also being prosecuted by Jack Smith. However, the judge in that case has not made any ruling about whether or not Jack Smith was properly appointed. And frankly, I wouldn't expect her to come to this conclusion. And Judge Cannon's ruling is not binding on Judge Chutkan. That's the judge overseeing the DC election interference case. In addition, this does not affect any of the state cases because those deal with state prosecutors. Now, where did Judge Cannon get this idea at all? Well, it might have been from Justice Clarence Thomas. So During oral arguments in the Trump immunity case, you heard Justice Thomas bring up this question of, do we think that Jack Smith was actually validly appointed? And he brings up exactly this question of the appointments clause and whether or not it was followed. Then, just 2 weeks ago, in a separate concurring opinion in the decision involving the immunity case, we have Justice Clarence Thomas writing and saying he thinks that Jack Smith was not validly appointed. And I counted about 5 instances in Judge Cannon's decision where she cites favorably to Justice Thomas's concurrence. Now, what is likely to happen next? Well, I think the Department of Justice will appeal this case to the 11th Circuit. And the 11th Circuit is a conservative circuit, but in the past, in an earlier iteration of this case, we did see the 11th Circuit strike down a decision by Judge Eileen Cannon that involved whether or not a special master should be appointed. So there is a chance, and I think it is more than negligible chance, that the 11th Circuit does not agree with Judge Cannon. Now, after the 11th Circuit makes its decision, this case could be appealed up to the Supreme Court. I don't suspect that the court is likely to take this case if the 11th Circuit disagrees with Judge Cannon, in the sense that I think the weight of authority really goes against Judge Cannon, and I'll explain why in a moment. And I don't think the Supreme Court wants more of these Trump cases. In addition, yes, this is a conservative court, but this is a court where right now it's really only Justice Thomas, arguably 2 of the 9, maybe 1 of the 9, maybe Justice Alito as well, who have questions about how special counsel Jack Smith was appointed. Now, a couple of other things to think about. I said, well, the weight of authority seems to go against Judge Cannon. And that's in part because of a 1974 decision from the Supreme Court, a Watergate era decision, where the court said that President Nixon had to comply with a subpoena from independent counsel Jourofsky. And in that case, there was language indicating that the independent counsel had the power to conduct this investigation. What Judge Cannon said is that that language was just dicta. It wasn't essential to the holding, and therefore it is not binding upon her. Other judges have found that that language is not just dicta, and that it in fact does tell us that when it comes to independent counsels, particularly those who were previously private citizens, that the appointments process can be satisfied based on, for instance, the way Jack Smith was appointed. Now, one other thing to think about is, what about Hunter Biden? He was prosecuted by a special counsel, David Weiss. That case is different, as Judge Cannon points out, because David Weiss was part of the Attorney General's office before he was appointed to be the special counsel. And therefore, I think when it comes to Judge Cannon's reasoning, and she says this, that it is different to pick somebody who was previously a private citizen versus somebody who was previously a member of the Attorney General's office, like David Weiss. So I don't expect that this would affect the case against Hunter Biden. So I hope this helps to answer some of your questions about this breaking news. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe, and we'll talk to you next time.